The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. A big shout out to the Pima Community College basketball team, the runners up in the basketball tournament for schools, the two-year schools. Came very close. I think the final score was like they were within 5 points or something, but it's exciting. For Pima, certainly a great showing there. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday, the 26th of March. This is the final week of March. It's also Easter week. Easter coming, I think, pretty darn early this year, maybe as early as possible. We're coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. Have our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. If you'd like to join in our conversation today with Jeff Rogers and Bruce Ash on our Facebook, where there certainly is no shortage of topics, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. The Monday Political Face-Off features our team of commentators, and the whole program, first half hour of the program and the face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook. Bruce Ash, I know you're a big fan of Moe's. I was over there on Saturday. I had a job for them. Had a frame job that was like about 20 years old, and I needed Mo and the team to put some new mat in there and to match up a frame with a new piece.
It is,
and they did it.
It is amazing what they do with art. That, you know, you might have said, I'm kind of tired of this.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really, and then Mo gets in there and they change the matting and change your frame.
It's amazing.
And it's like it's a brand new piece.
It is.
He's awesome.
I'm just really excited about what they're going to do. Jeff, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
A lot of basketball over the weekend. You love basketball, being from the Hoosier State.
I do. And I was, since we don't have any teams in there now, Indiana University's not there, Purdue lost. Of course, our Wildcats are out of it. But so my main interest this weekend was, like Bruce's, rooting against Duke.
Well, my main interest, coming from Chicago, of course, pulling for the Ramblers, and because I was in high school in Chicago in 1963 when Loyola won it all. I mean, that was exciting times. And there were four or five members right behind the bench at the game from that team giving inspiration. Of course, when you say inspiration, Sister Jean, and I see Loyola now has copyrighted her name.
And I guess they now have a bobblehead doll of her.
So it's a lot of fun stuff going on. And I'll tell you, Bruce and Jeff, though, the conversation around the water cooler in probably millions of households, now millions of offices and households, for that matter, is the highest rated segment in 10 years on 60 Minutes. And that was the Stormy Daniels interview. What were some of your thoughts on that, Jeff?
Well, I thought she seemed to be very articulate and very believable. I know she's a porn star, so that probably doesn't do a lot for her reputation. But there were just several things about it that I thought made her seem awfully believable. I don't know that Trump's supporters really give a darn about it. Mm-hmm. I mean, because we've been here before. We've seen the grab them by the private parts, audio, video, and you know, we've seen a lot of other things. I didn't see the CNN interview of the other woman who was a Playboy model, but you know, her story seems fairly credible as well. Not sure whether the voters really care much about it.
I mean, that's the big question, Jeff and Bruce. In the end, Bruce, does it really matter with the voters?
Well, it didn't matter with JFK, and there were rumors about him during that time. It certainly didn't matter with Bill Clinton. when he was president, and he certainly wasn't sort of in the same social media world and frenzy that we're in today. But, you know, it was a factor then, even back in the 90s. In fact, you know, he won another election. So what do you know?
Yeah. But, you know, there's a lot more here than we saw. And what we, of course, don't really know what went on with JFK. But you know, Donald Trump is just gaining quite the reputation. As a you know, not only as a philanderer and cheating on his wife like Bill Clinton did, but he also has a long reputation for sexual harassment as well. I mean, we saw a lot of those women come out during the campaign, but it didn't seem to matter. He won anyway, and I think the most shocking thing for me is conservative Christians' support of a man who clearly has nothing Christian about him at all. So, you know, that's really the most shocking thing for me.
Sort of like doctors and bedside manner. When the patient is dying, if the doctor doesn't have the right bedside manner, nobody seems to care. There's lots of people in this country, not that they live their lives any better or any worse than Donald Trump or any other elected official. And Donald Trump's not the first, nor is he going to be the last publicly elected official, you know, who's had issues like this come up. But there's loads and loads of Americans who voted for Donald Trump, who they're more concerned, they are more interested in results and the results that are happening with this administration.
From a legal point of view, I was very fascinated about the non-disclosure agreements. Jeff, do they usually hold a lot of, I mean, are they breakable?
Well, they are breakable, and once they've been disclosed, mm-hmm. and it's become a publicly known, then that has been a factor that's caused many of them to dissolve. These huge $1 million per instance,
right.
Those kinds of things are never upheld. I mean, there has to be some rational relationship between the punitive consequences and the actual harm done. So those kinds of punitive consequences are rarely upheld. It's difficult to say. I mean, the problem is that if I were advising Trump and his lawyer Cohen, I'd tell him to just knock it off and leave. It's already out there. Mm-hmm. You know, all you're going to do is spread it more if you sue people and if mm-hmm. you engage in courtroom activity.
Well, there's today a cease and desist order from Cohen, I believe.
Yes, I saw that as well. Yeah.
So you're saying that doesn't help?
That doesn't help. I mean, you're just stirring the pot. I mean, just lay low and let it take its course and let it peter out. That's what I would advise a client to do. Of course, I don't have a client like Trump who won't follow in advice. I mean, like John Dowd, I think I would fire my client eventually if he wouldn't listen to me.
Bruce, should we be worried about John R. Bolton as President Trump's new national security advisor, who, according to Wendy Sherman, Wendy wrote an article today in the New York Times. Bolton,
what do you expect from the New York Times?
Yeah, Wendy wrote he's never met a war that he didn't like. And
that's
Wendy,
a little harsh.
Wendy Sherman was the lead negotiator for the Iran nuclear agreement, former Undersecretary of State for Political
Wendy Affairs. Sherman and others have a great deal of personal interest in the flawed Iran deal. Mm-hmm. So, of course, she and others who participated in what is perhaps the most dangerous agreement that's ever been cooked up in the Middle East would have their concerns about John Bolton. The president, when he hired McMaster and Tillerson, I think those were appointments. They're great appointments, but those were appointments where clearly there was not always a meeting of the minds. And there's been lots of people in the press, most notably probably Hugh Hewitt on this radio station, who from the very, very beginning were clamoring for John Bolton to become either Secretary of State, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N.
For some role.
Some role. And look, the Nash Review, I think, said it right. John Bolton is not the problem. The danger in the world that exists today is the problem, whether that be in Iran or Russia, North Korea, China, you know, you name it. There's lots and lots of risks, not just to the United States, but to the world in general. And you need to have a great team in place. Mattis, arguably, is one of the most low-key secretaries of defense we've had in this country for many, many years. And on a low-key, very under-the-radar basis, the Defense Department has been doing amazing work tamping down the kind of problems that we have around the world and keeping the peace.
I know, Jeff, you're very concerned about Bolton.
Well, I am. And we now only have one adult left in the room, and that is, as Bruce said, Mattis. And, you know, I have to be concerned about whether or not Mattis is going to get run out of a job. I deeply pray that, he does not, because he's the last adult in the room. Bolton is just, like you said, he's never met a war he didn't like. And there are many, many people who said, look, in 2020 hindsight, I was a supporter of the Iraq war, but now knowing now what we know right. about there were no weapons of mass destruction, this was a horrible mistake. And also knowing how much it weakened Iraq, and Iraq served as a buffer between Iran and Israel and Iran and the United States. And so a weak Iraq is something that enables Iran to be a much stronger country and makes them more dangerous. And so there are a lot of people, and Bolton is not one of them. Bolton looks back and says, oh, no, that I would do, even knowing now what we know, I would have done it anyway. And it was a good thing that we did that. And I don't think there are very many people who actually believe that. So I'm a little concerned. And then when you add to the fact that he's elevated Bolton to this job, you've got Mike Pompeo, who is, I mean, he's a neocon as well.
As
I mean,
Secretary of Defense.
Secretary of State.
Excuse me.
And so, you know, you've got two people who are, you know, have a real itchy trigger finger, I think, and could lead us down. And you add to that, that wouldn't be such a problem if you had an intellectually sound president who actually knew a little bit about history and knew a little bit about the world. But we've got, you know, an infantile president who knows nothing about the world, and these guys are going to be the force that drives him.
Okay, Bruce, hold your thought. We're going to take our break right here. 12:16, the Monday Political Face-Off. If there's something you've heard here on the Face-Off that you'd like to weigh in on, 790-2040, the Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Be right back. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. An Indian food lover's paradise awaits at Indian Twist, located at the southwest corner of Swan and Camp Lowell, with a varied and extensive menu including vegetarian options and many dishes prepared in the tandoor oven. Indian Twist offers takeout and buffet lunch daily, with dinner served family style. The full bar features Indian beers on tap. Indian Twist, Swan and Camp Lowell, and IndianTwistAZ.com. Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, concerns about the upcoming fire season, plus certified financial planner Shelley Fishman with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. All happening during the noon hour on Tuesday on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson's Voice. We have our worldwide live listening, our podcasts, and really 7 years of programs archived at buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Bruce Ash and Jeff Rogers. We were talking before the break about Mr. Bolton. Did you have anything else to add on Bolton, Bruce, before I move on to tariffs?
Well, I would take issue most of what Jeff talked about in terms of an infantile presidency mm-hmm. or infantile president, as well as a dangerous person in Mike Pompeo. Look, when the chairman of the Council of Foreign Relations says that he thinks Mike Pompeo was a great choice, I think you have to stand up and take some notice on that. And Pompeo will make a great Secretary of State. What's happened at the State Department is there's been a terrible problem with morale over the past 14 months or so. We have many, many posts which have not been filled, ambassadorships that are still vacant. The most notable of it, I think, is Germany and South Korea. And you know, I was very interested. I didn't know that Rick Grenell, who is the designate for Germany, was gay, but he is. And you know, it was an interesting sort of angle that the New York Times talked about him and his appointment, how, you know, this would be the most in the open gay in the administration. Well, that's not really the story at all. The story is this is a guy with enormous qualifications. And there are many, many of them. Some of my friends who have been appointed ambassadors and have been languishing, you know, not able to take, you know, to take office and do the things that need to be done. But more importantly, I think that what we could see with Mike Pompeo in the State Department will be a bit of change of focus in terms of a lot of the staff positions. For example, the Assistant Secretary for East Asia is somebody who has been in the pocket of the Chinese, and this is the red Chinese, not the Taiwanese, in their pockets for years. And what I found traveling to Hong Kong, to Taiwan, the number of times I have meeting with American diplomats as well as think tank people is they make careers. They make loads and loads of money doing reports and doing analysis for communist China. And we've had a whole different kind of a mindset. And I'll just pick on East Asia for a second.
Real quickly, because Jeff hasn't had anything to say here yet.
and I would also go on to say that I think the ascension of Julie Haspel at CIA is an incredible appointment. This is the person who was in charge of the clandestine services for many, many years. I don't think since Wild Bill Donovan ran the OSS, you know, in the 40s and early 50s, have we had somebody who's been involved with clandestine services running the CIA. And it's about time when you see all of the things that are going on around the world, threats to this country, Gina Haspel is going to be a great choice at CIA.
I never thought I'd say this, but thank God for Rand Paul. There is some hope that we can keep Haspel from getting this position with the help of Rand Paul. This woman was not only in charge of so-called enhanced terror interrogation, which I call torture, and many others.
Waterboarding?
Yeah, waterboarding and other kinds of torture that we now don't do. But there is some evidence that she actually engaged in such activities during the early stages.
About hands-on?
Hands-on. So this is somebody who has no business in that position whatsoever. I mean, an advocate for torture, an unapologetic advocate of torture. And we know that torture doesn't work. If it did work, maybe there'd be some occasions where the consequences are so frightening, maybe we can engage in it. But the fact is that it's against international law, and it doesn't work. And so I would not want to see somebody like that in that kind of a position.
And let me, if I can, as long as Jeff is bringing up unapologetic again. I'm actually one of those people, Jeff, that you think doesn't exist. We were winning the war in Iraq. It was a right war to fight. And had it not been for the President of the United States, who came in after President Bush, who announced from the outset that we were going to leave as of a date certain, we probably would have an entirely different kind of an outcome in Iraq, as well as some of the other places.
We had no choice to leave, Bruce. I mean, we couldn't come up with an armed forces agreement that would protect our soldiers.
Our government barely had any interest in that at all. They wanted to get their tails out of Iraq and come home for the peace dividend.
That die was cast in the Bush last years of the Bush administration. There was nothing the Obama administration could have done for that. And the fact of the matter is that this has created a huge hole in the Middle East and enabled Iran and made Iran much more powerful.
Syrian situation worse?
And it's made that worse as well. So I think, you know, this was a horrific mistake. And even if you believe they had weapons of mass destruction at the time.
They used them on their own people.
Now we look back and go, okay, we were wrong about that, so we were wrong to go in there. And we see the other consequences.
What did they do with them, Bruce, the weapons of mass destruction?
We may never know, but we know that they used them on their own people.
You're talking about
We know that they used them in warfare. Jeff is just his information.
We do
is just
know that
wrong.
They had them previously. Mm-hmm. We didn't know that they had still had them. Apparently, they did not still have them. But we do know in the first Iraq War they actually did use them on their own people.
And they did use them, I believe, gentlemen, in the war with Iran.
As long as we're going there on President Obama, the red line that he drew in the sand with Syria, had he acted, had the United States along with our allies acted decisively, as that civil war in Syria started, we would not have over 500,000 dead people, millions of people who have been turned into refugees in other countries, and all of the major refugee problems we have all through Europe today. Hmm. It was dilly-dallying by the Obama administration that in large part abetted and aided Bashir.
You're saying it's on the shoulders of Obama.
I believe that there is great fault that he has to bear.
Well, I would disagree with that. Assad is a monster and should have been taken out many, many years ago. But now we have a much more complicated situation with Iran and Russia backing him, and that's a direct result of our invasion of Iraq.
Well, as long as we're talking about Obama and Russia, you know, this was the guy who accused Mitt Romney of living in the Cold War days in the 50s and 60s. He didn't think that Russia was much of a threat at all. Well, I guess we've all seen the results of that flawed thinking.
Mm. I was going to go to tariffs, but I'm not going to have time, certainly, to tariffs. Only got about a minute left. But, Ray, did you say the market is up dramatically today? I think you posted 600 points. I guess there's some of those fears about a trade war maybe easing, but yeah.
Well, I sure hope that we don't engage in a trade war. But as I said, when I called him infantile, he's an extremely foolish president when it comes to economics, and he's getting bad advice from people around him.
Well, that's incredible, Jeff, on the throes of the most incredible tax reform act that's been passed in 30 years.
I didn't think it was very incredible.
And again, if I can, just in the few minutes that we have remaining.
Not minutes, seconds.
In the few seconds we have remaining, let me just say that what has been going on with China and even South Korea, some of our allies, has been a trade war being conducted against the United States of America and our great businesses for the last 20 years.
Jeff, final rebuttal to that?
You know, I actually was an economist before I was a lawyer, and I don't believe that tariffs are the way to get to economic prosperity for us or for the world.
All right, gentlemen, thank you very much. Bruce and Jeff, hope you both have a great week and a happy Easter. And what is there's the major Jewish holiday coming
Passover
up.
Passover Friday at sundown.
There you go. A happy Passover and Easter week.
Chag Sameach Pesach.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge at moesgallery.com presents our Monday political face-off. Thanks, Mo. It was great to see you and the team on Saturday. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques? It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back, Monday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Are you getting hungry? I am. How about a sandwich at Mona's? Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. They're at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. And now, this isn't just any sandwich. The bread that you will be enjoying that sandwich on was baked freshly this morning by Steve and Sherry. They are the owners of this beautiful bakery, Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com, for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. All right, it's been about 6 months since former Pima County Supervisor Ray Carroll. Ray served on the board of the Pima County Supervisors for about 20 years. His new career began in October when he was sworn in as one of nine justices of the peace in Pima County. Supervisor Carroll, Judge Carroll's district, is now Green Valley. Judge Carroll, how are you?
Bill, I'm doing fabulous. Great Holy Week beginning, coming in to be with you today. You're so great to have myself here for a quick interview this afternoon. But it's been great the last since October. I've really put on some great education, and I've passed all my classes. And I'm very happy to be cruising along in this new career and finding that it's agreeable.
Now, you didn't have a legal background before this, but you've got in front of me this huge two or three legal books. Are you studying up on all this?
Well, you have to hunker down and study your law, Bill. It's obviously a lot of rules and a lot of statutes that you need to in order to make decisions and rulings on these cases that I hear. I've heard hundreds and hundreds of cases so far, and each one of them, I'm going to mention a religious analogy. There's a psalm for every occasion. Of course, King David wrote the Psalms, and there's one for every occasion if you look in the good book. Mm-hmm. And there's a script for every occasion when it comes to the law. Each judge is provided a book with scripts and other types of manuals. There are limited jurisdiction bench books. There's criminal. There's especially a DUI bench book, just a reference manual for DUIs. DUIs can be more complicated than murder trials, Bill, and I know that's one thing you want to speak about.
Well,
today.
I do, and we'll get to DUIs, but I think we should start at the beginning. There are a lot of people, including myself, I don't really know enough about the justice of the peace system here in Pima County. Could you enlighten our listeners? How does it work? What kind of cases are involved? And when does someone typically see a JP?
Excellent. Well, Bill, we do, and limited jurisdictions. That's the JP bench. We do civil trials. We do civil jury trials, of course, but we also do bench trials for small claims. That's a small claims hearing can hear a hearing of a small claim, but civil trials also, a dispute between myself and a person I've been doing business that's over a certain amount of money. Small claims can go up to, say, $2,500. And after that, then you're in a civil hearing regarding that same disagreement. So you have everything on the criminal bench book as well. There's I give out search warrants sometimes at 2 in the morning. Any deputy from Pima County and JP Precinct 7. Yes, you have to leave your phone on. You have to get up and get over to your warrant sheet. You have to swear in that maybe it's a Sarita Police Department person. I've had those.
It's all over the phone?
Well, they are usually over the phone at 2 in the morning. They
can't come to my house. In the movies, they show coming to the judge's home at all hours.
Used to be judges were provided a fax machine just to ink your signature and send it back to them. Uh-huh. But the police and the deputies can actually have you authorize the affiant, which is the person, the affiant who comes in with the affidavit that says, I have probable cause. They have to explain to you why the warrant is. It's usually, as I've said, for drunk driving, usually after the bars close. And there's certain tips, Bill, that they might receive. We'll go over that when we talk about DUIs later. But I do search warrants, like I've said. We've done all types of hearings. I respond to motions mostly every day from people that want to come to court and maybe would like a different date or would like to ask for a dismissal of their case, and it has to be decided upon then. But we do, as far as criminal, initial appearances. That's your arraignment. So the person who gets arrested, he might still be in jail, and we might see him on video at 10 a.m. on the morning of his arraignment, or they might get there at 8, 8:30 for an arraignment that begins at 9 a.m. Each person then has to declare exactly what they would like to plea. Am I going to plead not guilty? The plea is taken at the time of the initial appearance, and that's the time when a person can step up to the defendant's table and say they either would like to plead guilty, not guilty, or no contest.
What about a jury trial?
If there's certain offenses that are eligible for jury
trials.
What
are those?
Well, there's everything from shoplifting, sex crimes, prostitution. You can get a sex crime.
DUI?
DUI definitely is one that's eligible for a jury trial right off the bat. No. Substance abuse or, being caught with marijuana or some type of vapor. Mm. No, that depends if there's a few things for jury trials that you have to remember. It depends on if you're going to get, if the sentence is going to include probation that's supervised or jail time. Usually then you can be eligible for an Office of Court-Appointed Attorney. That's what we call our public defenders. But jury trials, like I said, are very complicated. Not until I graduate from my new NJO, which is new judges orientation, would I be allowed to do a jury trial. We've been for many, many weeks. Every month, pretty much, I've gone to a week of school out of that month. So let me just tell you, Bill, eligible for a jury trial, DUI, number one. Indecent exposure, public sexual indecency, shoplifting, reckless driving, which is, in the I-19 back and forth here, we've got a lot of construction going on, and I've seen reckless driving, and they have been offered a jury trial, but most plea to something less. Theft, of course, any criminal charge that also has an allegation of sexual motivation, and the last one, Bill, is resisting arrest. So you probably have heard about and seen people who have resisted arrest. Most likely what that person is going to probably do is be charged with something else on top of that. And then usually, Bill, the prosecutor, as I long and hard fought with the county attorney and worked with the county administrator and worked with the other board members over the years to raise the plea agreements. You know, mm-hmm. you can't go to trial on everything, Bill. So it always is a good thing when I see defendants plea agree with the county attorney to some type of, whether it's, let's say it's a domestic violence charge, they can get that lessened so they can do 26 classes of domestic violence, you know, anti-domestic violence training, you know, something that they could learn to control their anger and behavior. Sometimes it's anger management, sometimes it's counseling. It's the same with the DUI. You might realize that these checkpoints are great, but they usually don't signal when they're parked like that in front of it. Half the drunk drivers that go through checkpoints don't ever get found drunk. And that's the truth. But there are certain clues that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration have given to those deputies to look for. And for example, some of those are turning in a wide radius, straddling the center line of a lane marker, appearing to be drunk, gripping the wheel tightly, driving with one's face close to the windshield, slouching in the seat, etc., almost striking an object, obviously weaving, many swerving slow speed, like 10 or 20 miles below the speed limit, following too closely. Obviously, all these are NHTSA cues to pull people over. You don't see those at checkpoints. So it's not just checkpoint holiday weekends that one shouldn't drive or one shouldn't get an Uber. Don't drink and drive, Bill. The minimum slightest degree is 0.04. You might hear that, well, that's half of a drunk driving charge, but slightest degree, you'll end up in my courthouse, Bill.
And what happens to your on the record for your driving record?
They notify the Motor Vehicle Division right away, Bill, when you've been cited for drunk driving.
Oh, boy.
And I can just tell you, and assuredly so, that drunk driving is one of the most devastating parts of watching this job. These are sometimes people with families that have done very well. The students excelled. They got scholarships. They're athletes. They're scholars. And this guy who's the father, who's done such a wonderful job, had a couple of extra drinks at his union hall, was coming over, got stopped, obviously. All the good work he's done, all the productive work that he's done with his family at home, it really shatters this person. They come in. They don't have an attorney. Sometimes we have to talk about either getting him appointed. This is a working type guy. Or sometimes they go out and try to represent themselves. So it's a complex issue, Bill, and I'm glad you brought it up.
And we will bring it up again after the break. Ray Carroll is here, Pima County Justice of the Peace. His jurisdiction is Green Valley. We'll speak with him some more after the break. 790-2040 if you'd like to have a question or comment for Judge Carroll. The Buckmaster Show, one of our fine sponsors, Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk. And they are very close to they're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. You will enjoy your visit to Green Things. Also, a good starting place, check out their website, greenthingsaz.com. Be right back with Judge Ray Carroll. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Explore the world of discovery at UA Biosphere 2 with our three new guided tours. The Under the Glass, History, and Family Tours have been developed to provide new ways to experience the world's largest living research center, where scientists are addressing the global challenges of food, water, energy, and health. Check out these exciting new themed tours today. For a complete schedule, visit biosphere2.org.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
Back, Buckmaster Show on AM 1030 KVOI, worldwide live listening, KVOI.com, and BuckmasterShow.com. Silver City in Grant County makes a great getaway. I almost said weekend. Well, you know, it's the beginning of the week, and if you've got some time off, how about a midweek getaway? Just a three-hour drive from Tucson, and as the temperature heats up, which it's going to do here, close to 90 degrees, I think, by the end of the week. That means 15 degrees cooler in Silver City. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete listing of great places to stay and visit in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. 790-2040 for questions for Judge Ray Carroll, who represents the Green Valley District as a Justice of the Peace. Now, what is your footprint? Who do you represent? What areas down there?
Well, the precinct includes a good chunk of that southern Pima County. You go all the way from Corona de Tucson on the east. You follow that along till you get to Sarita. That's included as well. Green Valley community proper. As you know, it's an unincorporated town, kind of. And then down from there, you have Amato, which is the Aravaca exit. And everything from there points west. Aravaca, Sasebe on the border, those are all included in this great big rural district that does include that retirement community. And that's where the office is, right in the center of Green Valley.
Do you welcome visitors?
Yes, I have some students that have come in already. I have seniors that are members of the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers that are actually our bailiffs every day. So if you're involved in the Sheriff's Auxiliary Volunteers, you can sign up to be in the bailiff training program, and there you get to be the bailiff in the court.
Wow.
So we really have a lot of
retired people looking for something kind of really unusual. There you go.
Incredible resumes have found themselves sitting as a bailiff in my courtroom.
Wow.
It's great and delightful to learn and share their common sense approach to the law.
All right. We have a question about, we were talking about drinking and driving before the break. Rod would like to ask, Judge Ray Carroll a question about that. Go ahead, Rod.
You had said, I don't know if I heard it earlier, that during the checkpoint thing, do they lower the expectations for, you know, what's legal and what's not? Did you say that? Or
no, they don't. Let me tell you, though, two things about those. There is a charge of 0.04. You know, the legal BAC limit is 0.08. But 0.04 is the slightest degree intoxicated. Do you follow?
Hmm.
Okay.
So now the legislature is talking about bringing the entire BAC from 0.08 to 0.05 for drunk driving. And all the sentences from there are, broken down. I could go through the sentence chart, but I would just tell you, sir, that drinking and driving, and you've looked at the wheel of how many drinks you can have per your weight or during how many hours, most of that stuff is thrown out the window. I'll just tell you, my experience as a justice of the peace, the county attorney is working with the sheriff's department to try to make this one of those things that is very hard to plea in. But I will tell you that 0.04 is your slightest degree.
And what would that be? Well, I guess it depends.
Well, Bill, let's just say
would that be a glass of wine or what?
Yes, I would say it's one drink and anything more than one drink, you're probably at the slightest degree. And if you're showing some of those NHTSA cues, like I told you, and you get pulled over, like making too wide of a turn, straddling the center line, driving 20 or, miles per hour under the speed limit, etc., you're going to get pulled over. That's probable cause. That's a reasonable suspicion to pull you over. Or you're driving down the straight and perfectly, but someone opens up the door on your right side. That's another reason to pull you over. And people acting like that, you might have some other friends in your car that looks like a rowdy car, they can pull you over. And I've seen everything under the sun now when it comes to driving under the influence.
We have
and
a Facebook
I will tell you, it's
friend.
Very difficult.
Excuse me, Judge. We have a Facebook friend that's curious about substance abuse and driving. Could you touch on that, please?
Yes. Now, if they catch you doing vapors, any kind of, vapor pen, which is how they're serving now, cannabinoid, or cannabis, pardon me.
Cannabis.
They have, and if you don't have your card, well, you obviously are impaired in driving.
Or your medical marijuana card with you.
Maybe you say you had one, but it expired, Bill. All these things are going to be reviewed. Once you get pulled over, certainly they can take your blood and alcohol test. Most deputies are phlebotomists, and this is why, as I was mentioning, I'll get the calls at 2 in the morning for a warrant to go ahead and bring this person over to the University Medical Center or St. Mary's, Green Valley Hospital, and have the blood taken. So it's obviously a very serious infraction of the law. Driving under the influence has very strict guidelines. Having a trial for driving under the influence, many of my sheriff deputy friends and many of my prosecutors as well as other JPs say this is more complicated than most murder trials.
Wow.
And it is a very, very difficult thing to get yourself through.
Okay, there was one other question about opioids. Somebody was driving under the influence of opioids. What do you do about that?
Well, they'll show signs of impairment, and then they'll get their blood tested, and it can be tested for drugs as well if they're overusing or if they're subscribed that.
What breaks your heart the most? You were saying during the break that you do see domestic violence cases.
I see
that
mostly.
Just breaks your heart with the children and, goodness.
There's some of the most terrible cases we've seen. Bill, orders of protection are a priority of the court. So if a person, usually it's a spouse or a live-in, is being somehow, I've had people who have been beaten severely come in and they finally, it takes 7 usual tries for a victim of domestic violence to leave the abuser. So our court is open to these folks at all times to make that first step, which is an order of protection, which that's for a loved one, usually someone you have a child with, someone you've either been married to or currently married to. And those are the orders of protection. It just takes one physical act of violence. I've heard the threats that were left on cell phones that'll make your hair stand up.
Oh, boy.
But I've also seen the evidence of domestic violence since when I was a young man and I moved to Tucson. I was the manager at Casa de los Niños, the crisis nursery started by the blessed Sister Kathleen Clark. So I know the seriousness of the issue. I know the history of it in Green Valley. You'll think, wow, there shouldn't be a lot of domestic violence in Green Valley.
Yeah, you wouldn't think so.
Well, it's a huge precinct, Bill, as I said. It stretches all the way from Corona de Tucson to Sasebo. And I see them from Green Valley. And I want to mention that all ages, all demographics, all socioeconomic groups, all races have issues with domestic violence and partners. Need to break free, and the first thing they need to do is come to the court, get an order of protection, and if you have a case that you present, it's going to be an ex parte hearing. So the victim is there, the judge is there, the clerk is there, and really no one else. They tell their story, they delineate the examples of the abuse, and then the order is given, and it's good for 1 year. The constable or a police agency will then deliver the order. And from that point on, it's good for a year, and this person should have no contact with you whatsoever. Now, as I mentioned, it was an ex parte hearing, which it was delivered. That's a one-sided hearing. So the defendant obviously has the time to come back and contest this.
All right. We are out of time, but Tony had a quick question. You have to make this very quick. What about stop orders for guns? Could you address that in a few seconds?
If an order of protection is granted and the person feels they've been threatened with a gun, then you can order them to turn in their weapons at the police or sheriff's station.
All right. Ray Carroll, we'll have you back to talk some more about this, obviously. People have lots of questions.
I'm so glad they do, because this is really the people's court where you can get your answers.
Judge Ray Carroll. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw is back from his brief holiday. Mike will be on for 2 hours, 4 to 6. Wake up tomorrow, 6 to 9. Me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ray. 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.